Well, it's good to see everyone here today. And again, let's give our guests a hand. And amen. We normally go live at 11. We're live now. Let's give our connected community a hand. Amen. You're always welcome here at Gen to Gen, where our mission is to equip individuals to impact their generation. To equip individuals to impact your generation. You're called to impact your generation. You're called to have impact on your generation. You're called to bring change and transformation and reformation to your generation. And sometimes our visions are too small. Amen. And we say, well, if I can just survive myself. Amen. Amen. If I could just survive. Amen. You're called to do more than survive. You're called to, amen, to overcome and impact your generation. Say, I'm called to impact my generation. It is amazing how people can believe that they can impact people for the negative. Amen. And people can bring drama to a generation. Amen. But when it comes to impacting, amen, for good and for blessing, amen, they don't think they can have an impact. But you're called to have an impact, a positive impact, with the gospel of Jesus Christ to your generation. Amen. How many agree? I'm called, amen, to impact. And so what we want to do is we want to equip you for the marketplace. And we want to equip you, amen, for all areas, amen, in business and education, entertainment, amen, to impact your generation. And if it's not on, don't worry about it. We'll just, amen, we'll catch you next time. Amen. We're called to equip and to, amen, impact our generation. I want us to read this decree, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. We've been talking about growing, a growth season, built to grow. God designs us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He doesn't want us to be complacent. You ever run across somebody that they never grow? Amen. They're the same. You get the, I had friends in high school that were great jocks in high school. Just tremendous people in high school. Amen. And you meet them 10 years later and they're still reliving high school. They still reliving what they were in high school. 15 years later, at the 20-year reunion, they're still talking about how they threw that pass or how they used to run that ball. You 20 years older now. But nothing has grown since then. And so they highlight the pinnacle of their growth. Amen. Thank God he does not want us, amen, to peak in high school. Amen. He doesn't want us to peak, amen, at 21. He doesn't want us to peak at 25. He wants us to continually grow. Amen. Amen. You ought to grow in your understanding. You ought to grow in wisdom. You ought to grow in love. You ought to grow in integrity. You ought to grow in God. Amen. You ought to grow from your mistakes. Amen. You can't, sometimes you just make a mistake and that's life. But it would be a tragedy if you didn't grow from it. If you didn't learn from it. I've made some business mistakes, man. Oh my God. But you have to grow from that. You learn and you grow. God wants us to grow and you're built to grow. And he says, if you ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you liberally. I help you grow. I help you relate. Your relationship doesn't have to be stagnated. It doesn't have to be, amen, full of drama and chaos. Amen. You can grow in a relationship. Amen. That's not in the notes. Amen. That's free. Amen. Because we can get in church and we can shout and we can run around the church. Amen. And we can look all church in our church clothes and go home and we're dealing with the same stuff we've been dealing with for 5 and 10 years. There's been no growth. That's not the word. That's not the will of God. It's the will of God that we grow. Amen? Either everybody distracted or I'm preaching all right. I'm doing all right. Amen. God wants us to grow. Let's put up our decree. It says, let's read it once we have it. Let's read it together. Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what your word says I can do. I can have what your word says I can have. The power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. I heard Apostle Joshua Giles minister on the word generations, and we know it comes from the word door of door, from one generation to the next. That's how we got the name, because I was involved. I'm a photographer, and I was involved in Jewish community for about 16 years. And the generation comes from the word door, and from one generation to the next is the Hebrew word from door to door. And he brought out the fact that the door, amen, when God says 1,000 generation, he says 1,000 doors. 1,000 doors. Amen. One door closes, another door, and another door, and another door. Amen. Which made me think of our confession and our name. Thank God he blesses our family, amen, for 1,000 generations. He gives our family line 1,000 doors. Amen. A blessing and favor and deliverance. Amen. Thus, Matthew, we're going to read two scriptures today as we continue this series. We've been on this series of growing and built to grow since August, I believe. Amen. And we're just going to stay here, and we're moving toward faith, and we're strengthening faith. Amen. As we go. Amen. We haven't landed on faith yet, but this is where we're headed. But we're just laying a real foundation in this. Amen. I believe in taking my time with this because it is so important. Our first scripture is Matthew 11 and 27. 11 and 27. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. And this is what it says. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whomever the Son will reveal him. I'll read it together again. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. In essence, Jesus is saying, it is impossible for you to know who the Father is unless I reveal him to you and I show you him, I demonstrate him to you. The second scripture is John 14 and 20. And then IV it reads as follows. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me. We read this verse last week. And I am in you. I'll read it again. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We have discovered and realized that believing is everything. It's the foundation to everything. What you believe shapes your life. What you don't believe, you do not ascribe to. You don't go after. You don't live your life. You live your life by a set of belief systems. You act a certain way because what you believe. Amen. Even though the Mega Millions, the odds of winning it is 900 million or whatever it is. People believe that they are the one out of 900 and something million people that can happen. It can happen to me. So by that, because they believe that, they go and put $5 on it, $10 on it. Amen. Give me $20 worth of easy picks. I know some of y'all ain't never played a lotto. You know, y'all say, I've never played a lotto. But because I just don't want to get into that world. Because I hate losing. I would imagine if I put $20 on and lose, I'd go back the next month and put about $50 on. Because I hate losing. So I just leave it alone. But because people believe and say, well, amen, it can happen to me, amen, and then you all of a sudden fantasizing, my God, I'll get that money. What would I? I'll live here. I'll go here. I'll get a church some. I'll get a church, Lord. You know, you try to leverage God to bless your ticket. You know, I'd give the church a little bit. And you do it even though the odds are stacked against you because you believe it's a possibility. We align ourselves. Believing is everything. And that's Jesus' main message. He brings the kingdom and he offers the kingdom to a generation and to his disciples and he trains them. But in order for them to receive the kingdom, they have to receive him as king. Because a king is a king over a dominion. And so to receive the kingdom, you have to receive Jesus. But if you receive Jesus, he gives you the kingdom. So everything hinges upon the ability to believe. And Jesus spends 3 years presenting himself, teaching his disciples, teaching the multitude. There's so much chaos. Some believe, some don't believe. Some say, I believe, help my unbelief. Some resist to the point, well, let's kill this man because he's against tradition and our law. And Jesus says in Luke 24, I believe it's Luke 24 and 44, Jesus said, listen, the law and Moses, the law and the Psalms and the prophets speak of me. I'm the one they were talking about. Belief is everything. Believing in Jesus is everything. And it's not just a confession to say you believe. It's a belief. It's a belief. The word is pistis. It is a persuasion. It is a conviction. It's a strong enough belief to change your actions. It's a strong enough belief to convict you, amen, of a direction you're headed, amen. It's a strong enough belief to change that direction. Amen. And if you don't believe Jesus on that level, then you really don't believe him. You confess him. Amen. But there is something wrong because there's still something in your belief system that says with all he comes and with the power of the gospel and all that he presents, amen, I still feel like my life is better and my life offers more, amen. There is still something in your belief system when you don't accept Christ that trumps belief in Jesus. So here's what Jesus does. He gives the signs and he gives, we talked about this last week, you know, the impact of believing on him. He says, Mark 16, these signs shall follow those that believe. And they're going to what? They're going to cast out devils. They're going to heal the sick. Amen. And we looked up that word. Jesus says, if you believe in me, amen, you'll be able to preach the gospel on one side and do wonders on the other. Side by side, amen, these signs follow that believe. Not just the pastor, not just the pastor, but these signs follow those that believe. Amen? Amen. So if you believe, I knew this was going to happen. I kind of thought it would. Thanks, man. But I was so happy to put it on because I haven't been able to wear it in a year. You know, I had to, you know, I said, look, I said this way. You know, yeah, you get them clothes on, you're like, You sit in the closet, you don't give it away, you know, because I'm going to get back in it. In the name of Jesus, I believe, you know, anyway, y'all mess. Anyway, so. I believe. So these signs follow those that believe. Jesus said in John 7, if you believe on me as the scripture says, then life-giving force or the life-giving presence of God is going to flow from you. Believe. It's power in believing. And then Mark 9, we already read that, we declare that there's no ifs in believers. All things are possible. There is no circumstance that we can face in life that is impossible for God to change. There are no circumstances, amen, that we can come across. Oh, thanks, Lamont. I appreciate that. It's not Fiji, but we'll work with it. I'm just joking, y'all. Just think of the limitations that are broke off our minds if we could just that one verse in Mark 9 that says all things are possible or anything can happen. Amen. When we find ourselves in the most adverse circumstances, if we could really just stand on the fact that if I believe in Jesus, anything can happen. I was reading a book, and there was a quote in there, and I can't quote it, but there was a statement in there from Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud was a part of the psychoanalytic theory, and he needed some deliverance himself. But I love this statement he made. I majored in counseling psychology with a minor in religious education, but he makes this statement how imagination is so important. But he says, imagination doesn't like run by itself. It has its foundation in knowledge. Once you have a foundation in knowledge, the imagination can come and amplify, I'm paraphrasing this, that knowledge. It can take that knowledge, that base knowledge, and amplify it and make it bigger. Here's an example. The guy that started Netflix worked at a video store. He found that in the video store, certain movies were available based on the demographics, others were not. And he was saying that he enjoyed movies, he enjoyed watching movies. And he said, why can't we have more movies in this store, a variety, amen. But the store said, well, at that time, videos, and you know, some of y'all don't remember, but I ain't talking about the DVDs, I'm talking about the VHS, I'm talking about the cassettes, man, where you had to slide it, zip to. And it was expensive to rent them movies. And if you want to buy them, it was hundreds of dollars or something. I know, yeah, some of y'all don't remember that now. Y'all just hit play on your phone and just but you see these videos, and he said, and he began to think. So what he did, he had a knowledge of videos and its current distribution and how it went out to people and how they would rent and return. And how it brought pleasure to him and to others. That knowledge, imagination hit that knowledge and said, what if we can open up the channel of videos and ship them all over the country and would not have to be limited by demographics? We can carry all the titles and ship them anywhere. It started with knowledge, and it expanded through his imagination. Now, some people didn't believe that it would work, i.e. Blockbusters. Some of y'all don't know. Some of y'all remember Blockbusters. And Blockbusters said, this streaming and stuff will never work. It will never take hold. And they were left in the dust. What am I saying? If we, the purpose of teaching the word of God, come on, people of God, the purpose of sharing this with you is to give you a foundation in the teachings of Jesus and the word of God. And then if you take it as a seed, your imagination will grab hold to it and you'll really believe that all things are possible. You'll begin to see, you know what, I've been at this level for this long financially. I've been at this level so long educationally. I've been at this level so long in my relationships. You know what, amen, I understand what Jesus came to do. Amen, I'm going to step into the realm of the impossible. Amen. I'm not going to keep going after the same knucklehead. I'm not going to keep going after the same thirst trap. I'm not going to fall into this. I'm going to break this pattern. Why? Because for me, somebody say, for me, all things are possible. And for me, anything can happen. Amen. That's where we have marketplace ministry in this church. Amen. We've been programmed, and it's no mistake, and I got to get back to the scripture. I got to get into this message, but it's not our parents' fault that they taught us to work, to get a job. That's what they knew. I look at the strike and how many people migrated from the South to the North for the jobs at the plants. That's how my grandfather ended here from Tennessee, because of the jobs at the plants. And now they're striking, amen, because they barely start you at above minimum wage now, where you used to be able to take care of your family. And so we were taught in that model of working and providing to get a job. And there's nothing wrong with having a job. Amen. We got people in this house that have great jobs. There's nothing wrong. But if you're believing for something different, amen, you need to be able to tap into that, amen, and let God grow that in you and realize that you can have a multi-million dollar business. And it's not the prosperity, the church speaks prosperity, God. Amen. Jesus gave Adam and Eve a whole garden. Heaven has streets of gold. Amen. Jesus came to give us a kingdom, dominion over a kingdom, to make us king over a domain. Amen. The devil is a liar. Amen. I got to struggle all my life. The devil is a liar. I can't take care of my family. The devil is a liar. I can't take me a vacation. I'm just going to look at TV and the other people that don't know nothing about Jesus. Amen. They all over the world. I'm on YouTube just living through their life. The devil is a liar. But we have to be willing to shift and change our belief system. Come on, tell somebody, change your belief system. Get ready, change your belief system. And the thing about the people of God, we're called to be blessed because we're called to demonstrate and show wealth, amen, and show it from an integrous perspective. We're called, amen, to demonstrate Christ and the love of Christ, amen, from a place of management, a place of leadership, amen. We're called to step forward because, amen, we're not going to use, amen, the means of this world to manipulate and control people. We'll show the world how it's done. God wants to bring wealth in the church so we can show the world how it's done. All right. So I was thinking about this and about Jesus. And I was saying, how do we, and it's so important, that we get beyond words and it really gets into our heart, this life in Christ. And I said, for a moment, let's remove Jesus from the equation. There's many religions out there, many doctors out there that says Jesus is not the Son of God, that he was a prophet, a good man. Him and Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King were the same. He was spreading good news. But what if Jesus is removed from the equation? What do we lose? You ever thought about it that way? What do you lose? Like if Jesus was removed from this equation? Because there are some people still waiting on Jesus. And there are some people that say he wasn't the Messiah. And there are some people that say you have to go to God, not Jesus. There are some religions that won't even celebrate Christmas because Jesus is not Lord of all. So what if Jesus is not part of the equation? By looking at it that way, I think sometime we'll see the weight and the importance to have an apologetic or a man to be able to present an argument for Jesus. If Jesus wasn't part of the equation, we would have no gospels. No real, why would you need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if Jesus wasn't Jesus? You wouldn't have the epistles because the letters to the churches were all about Christ and his work and the grace of God in the life of the believer. Matter of fact, you wouldn't need epistles because you wouldn't have the church. Because it's a revelation of Jesus Christ that the church is founded upon. He's the foundation of the church. So without Jesus, we all be chilling somewhere else. He's the reason for the church. Without Jesus, I think you wouldn't necessarily have a Lord's Prayer. Because why would the disciples ask another good man to teach us how to approach the Father? Without Jesus, we've talked about this, you really wouldn't have a kingdom to conquer because you wouldn't have a forerunning king to give you a kingdom. Without Jesus, you wouldn't have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Because Jesus is the one who ascended in Ephesians 4 and 11 and gave gifts to the church. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists are gifts to the church. So without Jesus, you wouldn't have the gifts. You know, I'm a gift. You know, we're a gift. Amen. All fivefold ministries, I guess. So you wouldn't have that. Without Jesus, you wouldn't have victory over death. Because Jesus came to get the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So when a loved one dies, you'd have to hope they're somewhere. You say, well, they're in a holding pattern, waiting on Jesus to come. Amen. You wouldn't have victory over death. Well, your spirit and your soul lives forever if there was no Jesus. Funerals for a believer, memorial service for a believer would be a terribly sad occasion. Because it's Jesus who says, don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. I'm going to my Father to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there are many mansions. Without Jesus, there's no preparation of mansions. Without Jesus, there's an absence of faith. The way we approach God now, you'd have to have an Old Testament system to approach God. Because only leaders and only the high priest could go to God. So without Jesus, you couldn't go to God. You'd have to wait on the high priest on the yearly day of atonement to atone for a year's worth of sins. That's not a good system. Because if you don't sin, amen, and then you, what happens if you die before the priest get up in there in his annual Day of Atonement? Amen. Without Jesus, you're outside of his presence. Because through Jesus, we have been brought near to God. Without Jesus, God is afar off. Ephesians 2 and 13. Everything is new, and although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to him. Through the sacred blood of Jesus, you have actually been united with Christ. Amen. Without Jesus, we really wouldn't know how or see God as God. Because he was so holy, he could only reveal himself to certain ones. And everybody would have to follow that leader who had the word of God. There was no personal word for them, just through the leader. Without Jesus, there would be no Abba Father. Because Jesus demonstrates the intimacy and the heart of God. That's why we defend the gospel. Don't let nobody just say anything about Jesus. Don't let anybody just tell you this good news of the gospel, man, is not powerful. Amen. You know, remember when you was in the hood and somebody said something about somebody you love, and you said, don't say it again. It's about to go down. Say it again. No, you didn't. Amen. Get to shaking your head. No, you didn't. Jesus is everything. I think we ought to give Jesus a clap of praise on that. Everything. Everything. He's everything. Your belief in Jesus. That's why you got to protect your belief in this culture of the world that says, amen, there's no standard and you don't have to, you know, believe in this or you. And forget all that, man. Listen, I'm going to stay with Jesus. Because without him, everything else falls to the ground. My life is hidden in Christ. Your life, your future's in Christ. So in our text, Jesus gives these two powerful statements. He says, no man knows a father, really knows him intimately without knowing me. The opposite of that is true. If you know me, you know the Father. Because everything I say is what the Father says. And everything I do, what the Father does. And I exemplify and personify the Father's will to you. So when you see me heal, it's the Father's will to heal. When you see me forgive, it's the Father's will to forgive. You get a four-dimensional picture of the Father through my life. Jesus said, you can't know him except by me. You need me to know the Father. You need me to approach the Father. Amen. I'm the Father's will displayed. That'll do something to our faith, people of God. As we see Jesus do, the Father desires to do. As we see Jesus teach, he's teaching the Father's words. Amen. As we see Jesus bless, my God, the Father wants to bless. That means when Peter needed to pay his taxes, he didn't have to play the Mega Million. Jesus said, I'll give you a miracle. Go cast a hook in the water, amen, without a bait. First fish you pull out, look in his mouth. That, hold up, that means God will give me a miracle. Because Jesus demonstrated the will of the Father. And he's not partial. Jesus blessed non-Jews and Jews. He's a responder to faith. He's a responder to those who believe. He responds, amen, to the level of your faith. So, amen, according to your faith, be it unto you. I thank God a miracle's about to hit the church like you've never seen before. Blessings are about to hit the church like you've never seen before. There's going to be a distinction between, amen, people, amen, that are holding on to religion and tradition and the people who want Jesus. Amen. Man worship is dying. Amen. Jesus is resuming the center of the stage. He's the main attraction. Jesus. Jesus said, you know the Father. You want to know the Father, you know him through me. Watch what I do, the mercy I extend. Watch what I do when the woman was caught in adultery. Watch how I restore even the, amen, the thief on the cross next to me. That's how I function. That's the Father's heart. Here's the Father's heart displayed. Then you can go to him. Here's how to approach the Father. Our Father who art in heaven. Amen. I'll teach you how to pray. And you know what Jesus says? He says, I'll give you my name. So anything you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. In my name, I'll give you my name so you can approach the Father. I'll shed my blood and wash your sins so you can stand in the holies of holies. You ain't got to wait for no day of atonement. Amen. I'll cover you with my blood so you can enter his presence. Amen. That's why the worship team should never, amen, even if we were short a few members today, amen, the worship team never should have to, come on, come on, y'all, come on, praise, come on, pray. Come on, Jesus shed his blood so you can step into the holies of holies. Would you come on and worship people of God? We shouldn't take, amen, for granted the price that Jesus paid for the presence of God. We shouldn't take for granted that God will come and manifest his power and his glory in our midst. It's the price that was paid. There's a price that's been paid. There's a price that's been paid for you. There's a price that's been paid for you. There's a price that's been paid for you. The next verse Jesus says in John 14, we read it earlier. Jesus says it like this. He says, I'm going to leave. The context, I'm leaving. I'm not going to leave you. I've been with you, talking to disciples. We've had dinner together. We've had communion together. We've been through on the sea and the ships, and we've been in the multitudes, and we've worked and labored together. Sometimes we read scripture, we just read it, we don't really digest the significance of it. And what he's saying, and it has to be devastating to have a man so powerful say he's about out of here. I'm about to leave. Amen. Someone that you love and you've just grown to rely on. Jesus said, I'm about to leave. He said, but he follows it up. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. Matter of fact, not only am I not going to leave you alone, but as have you have seen me teach and demonstrate that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, my God. I am in the Father and the Father's in me. I'm going to give you Holy Spirit, and now you are going to be in me. I took a class called Logic. I love logic. Two premises, a conclusion. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So in other words, if I am in my Father and you are in me and I'm in you, you're in my Father. You're in my Father. So I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to leave you alone. But by me leaving, I'm going to even bring you closer. I'm going to be in you, and you're going to be in me. I'm in the Father, so you're going to be in the Father. Give me a couple of those index cards. You got an offering envelope. This is on the spontaneous demonstration. So if I'm, I'll take two. Thank you. So if I'm, here I am, I'm in Jesus. Me, Jesus. I'm in Jesus. Jesus and the Father. We're all wrapped together. That means nothing comes into my life that doesn't have to go through the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Nothing. And even if God didn't cause it, He can fix it and turn it. Because I'm buried in here. I'm covered, man. I'm covered. What about what I'm facing? What about what the doctor said? What about my particular situation? What about my relationship? Man, I'm covered, man. This is what I need. All I need to do is hear from Holy Spirit, hear from Jesus, seek God's word for wisdom, because I just need to stay here. Only thing the enemy wants to do is to get you out of this equation. He wants to separate you. Because if he separates you, you're all on your own. But in Christ, I'm covered. That ought to do something for your faith. I'm covered. I got a DNA of the kingdom. I got the DNA of the King, because I'm covered. I'm covered in Jesus' name. Come and lift your hands for a moment and just worship the Lord.